You learn as you get older that to be cautious about saying things like everybody knows and no one cares, because it's hard for any individual to know things like that. We know what we know from within the groups we belong to and the places we frequent, and we do not all come from the same places and groups. So how do we communicate effectively and earn trust when encountering people who come from different places? Cultural agility is one concept. It is taught to healthcare workers, among others. La Clinica in the Rogue Valley teams up with Wings Seminars to offer cultural agility training, with another session coming up later this month. Two guests join us to talk about what cultural agility is and how it is imparted. Brenda Johnson is the CEO of La Clinica. She's in the studio with me. Brenda, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And Brian Lambert joins us once again, which is a sort of a homecoming, because Brian worked at JPR and was the engineer of this broadcast 10 years ago. He is now at Cross Cultural Healthcare Program in Seattle, where he's the Director of Equity and Inclusion Projects. Brian, welcome.
Thank you. Good to hear from you, Jeff.
It's good to have you both here. So, Brenda Johnson, let's start with you. Given what La Clinica is and how it started, you have to acknowledge different cultures, I would think.
Indeed, we do. It's our pleasure. We've been in this community for a little over 30 years, and we started as a migrant seasonal farmworker clinic, focusing mostly on the Latino population here in Jackson County and supporting them in receiving care in a culturally appropriate way and in the language that they prefer. And over the years, we've learned a bit. We've learned a bit and know that when we are at our best, we build rapport and develop relationship with people in a way that they want to be cared for. And that doesn't naturally come, you know, to all people in all ways and all times. So as individuals, as caregivers, we come from our own backgrounds and differences. So meeting people and understanding how we can connect with them in different ways is actually our greatest intention.
You mentioned language and culture. So language is certainly one way, but there are other aspects, lots of other aspects, I would think.
Right. Culture is made up of so many different components. It can come from an individual's background, their own a personal identity, their own orientation toward life, their work experiences, all kinds of different ways and different components that lead to culture. And so for us to first be, first and foremost, super curious about the person that's in front of us, knowing that we automatically are different, and then how do we actually bridge that gap between us and them so that we can care and come at the world in all aspects of the world in a place of connection and harmony.
So the cultural agility seminar we're talking about for later this month is sort of a co-production of La Clinica and Wings mm-hmm. Seminars. Talk about the relationship between those two entities.
Sure. About 4 years ago, La Clinica chose to create an affiliation, a partnership, in fact, an ownership with Wings Seminars. And Wings had existed for about 30 years prior to that in Eugene, Oregon, and had done an incredible work of personal and professional development seminars that were very experiential by nature. So the concept is, as individuals, when we become more self-aware, we can manage ourselves differently in the world. And so when we got attracted to that notion about how our workforce could actually grow, know themselves better, therefore care for people in a different sort of a way, as well as care for themselves, we knew that we were onto something special. And so fast forward 4 years later, we now know that bringing that kind of experiential self-awareness work with the concepts of cultural agility and our own experience as an organization of what it's like to care for people with diverse backgrounds and communities, we knew that those two functions coming together could create something pretty special.
Now, Brian Lambert, you used to work for La Clinica and are now based in Seattle. Tell us a bit about the cross-cultural healthcare program.
Sure, yeah. The cross-cultural healthcare program is a consulting and training organization. And we do a few things. One of the things, you talked about language as being a one component of culture, and that's one of the things that we're known for, our Bridging the Gap program. It's a language access program where we train medical interpreters, and in fact, we have some trainers in your listening area. We have some folks in Grants Pass at All Care who train interpreters, and then some folks in Arcata who train interpreters. But we have interpreters all over the country. And another component of what we do is the program that I lead, and it's the Equity and Inclusion Program. And we do consulting and training, and we help organizations like La Clinica, for example, connect with their patients, find better ways to connect with their patients culturally. And so we also train people. We bring people here to train them to be able to go back to their facilities and to provide training to their staff. In fact, that's how I got introduced to the Cross-Cultural Healthcare Program, because La Clinica sent me up here and I kind of got stolen away.
I'm glad you used the term first. I had a feeling it was hovering in the air there. So does Cross-Cultural Healthcare Program actually provide any healthcare by itself, or does it just assist places that do?
We don't provide healthcare ourselves, and we commonly get mistaken for a healthcare organization. No, we assist, and I love the fact that that Brenda used the word bridging the gap. We help bridge that gap between an organization, a healthcare or health and human services organization, and the patients that they serve. That's our mission.
So we were talking about cultural agility with Brian Lambert and Brenda Johnson. Brian is at the Cross-Cultural Healthcare Program in Seattle, director of the Equity and Inclusion Program. Brenda Johnson is the CEO at La Clinica in the Rogue Valley, and they are joining forces for a WING seminar later this month to teach cultural agility. You can join the conversation. Great chance for you to ask some questions, make some comments about cultural agility training and what it all means. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.com. Cultural competency in healthcare must be extremely important. I mean, you're dealing with people's bodies and what ails them. I mean, so what are some of the basics in just getting onto the same page in the first place, Brenda?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, it's about really being super curious about their experience. You know, and we can think about it in the context of, well, just a simple example. If you see someone who's homeless, who's sitting on the street, and often what will happen is individuals will feel a sense of fear, something inside for them that prompts them to want to look away. When we think about cultural agility, what would it look like if we actually leaned toward that person and looked toward them? Or then maybe even next time around gave them a grin or then talked to that person, you know? And what happens is when we think about the way that we develop biases as individuals, overcoming them and working with them, understanding them, getting really familiar with what they are and then what to do about them is the teaching itself. So we know that we all have them. And the question is when we discover that we do, what do we do about it? And how do we really want to be with other people with that?
So it really is, as you mentioned earlier, a bit about knowing yourself a bit better first. You have to know a bit about where you come from and the things that you, the baggage that you carry with
right,
you culturally.
Absolutely. Yeah, think about it. Like, we're always walking around with these glasses over our eyes, and we were given them, gifted them throughout our entire experience. And until we take them off or look through them with a different kind of a perspective, that's when we actually get to see the world differently. You know, but it starts with us, within us first, and that interest, that desire to take a look at things that otherwise might be somewhat uncomfortable.
Brian, do you find as you train people a certain level of fear in the sense of like, well, I don't know what to do. I'm not from that culture. I'm afraid of making a mistake, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. There is fear. There can be defensiveness. You know, not only I'm afraid to make a mistake, but if I make a mistake, my intention wasn't to make a mistake, and so therefore I'm a good person. Why are you frustrated with me? And so those are things that we have to overcome. We have to talk with people about that. That's natural. That's going to continue. You will make mistakes. And that's okay. Doesn't mean you're a bad person if you have a bias that that harms somebody. If you don't learn from that bias, if you don't learn from that harmful interaction, then there could be a problem. But it's first learning that we all make mistakes. And then the other thing is to understand that our systems are built sometimes to reinforce some of those biases. Those systems, and when I say systems, I mean like healthcare organizations, is a system that was created by people who have biases. Now, again, biases are not bad or good, but they may have certain amount of biases. And so not only do you have to overcome what you've learned as an individual, you might have to overcome what your system is set up to do in order to serve people well.
What's an example of that? What would be a way in which there's sort of an institutional bias that individuals have to overcome in representing the institution?
Sure. So there may be healthcare organizations have a common institutional bias that you arrive on time, that you arrive at the time that service is to be provided to you, that mm-hmm. That if your appointment is at 10 o'clock, you need to be there at 15 minutes before 10 o'clock, and if you're not, then you're likely to be turned away. Well, there are all kinds of reasons that maybe cultural reasons, maybe financial reasons. Remember what Brenda talked about, all of the elements of culture, that a person may not be able to get there on time, but yet we've created a whole system that says you need to be here on time, and then the patient is punished. Now, an organization has to be able to see patients, so they have to be able to have some sort of calendar or schedule. But an organization that is able to slow down and say, is this a barrier? And how can we work to meet a patient where they are instead of forcing them to come to where we are? Then they can become more culturally agile and start to change their system in a way that helps support all patients. So that's just one example.
Wow, that's a great example, though, because you really have to challenge all assumptions. This is not just about, like, well, I will have all the cultural competence in the world as long as they get here on time. And you have to realize, right, oops, getting here on time is part of the cultural understanding. Wow, that's pretty amazing stuff. We're talking about cultural agility with Brian Lambert from Cross Cultural Healthcare Program in Seattle. He's formerly of La Clinica. Brenda Johnson is the CEO at La Clinica in the Rogue Valley. La Clinica and Wings Seminars team up to teach cultural agility. So we're getting a short version of the lesson ourselves here. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Thoughts, questions, comments, welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Brenda, what do you say to the people who would say, well, I'm open-minded and polite. I can get along with anyone.
Mm-hmm. I would say yay for you and continue that. And also, you know, think about the areas in your life that you may be a little bit more resistant to. Sure, you can be polite and get along with other people, and there may just be some things we call blind spots, some opportunities for us to learn even more than what we already know.
An example of that?
Sure. So someone who might have a strong inclination toward, you know, caring for other people in a particular way may not necessarily know that their approach may not be exactly the way that someone else wants to be approached. And so they're doing so in a really well-meaning, kind-hearted kind of a way, but may just take a misstep or have a bump in a communication with another person without recognizing that they've actually tripped onto something. It may be a reference to someone's appearance or the way that someone carries themselves in a particular way. And that those things, actually, the more we learn about the nuances of our differences, our nice, natural, kind of polite personality, we can extend that in a place of curiosity to learn more about others.
Sounds like even some of the things that we assume are going to be okay for small talk can sometimes be triggers for other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think often it can happen in the subtlest of ways. We can think sometimes about the jokes that we tell or the ones that we laugh at or the ones that we don't laugh at. And that other people in different groups and different contexts would feel extremely offended by that same sort of a comment. And that well-meaning person, that very fun, kind of lighthearted person, may feel a sense of embarrassment of recognizing that perhaps they told a joke that, you know, hit someone in a particular way that was uncomfortable or unkind. And so the question, I think, is how do we still keep lightheartedness and joy and playfulness and also recognize that we're bumping around the world with other people who may feel a sensitivity, an actual very real lived experience that comes right in the face of those moments that can be accidental communication bumps, we may call them.
Brian, in your time at both La Clinica and now at Cross Cultural Healthcare Program, I mean, is this a long, slow process? I mean, because, you know, you start from your own point of culture, then you're trying to learn other people's cultures and how to be responsive and reflexive with those.
Right. It is a long, slow process. I loved how you said that. And it never ends. And that can feel overwhelming because there is no expertise. One of the common terms used to describe it is cultural competence. And we started to move away from that concept because it suggests that you can become fully competent. Mm-hmm. Now, words are always changing, and so we don't get too militant about about moving away from words, but that's one example. It's a lifelong journey. You're always working at it, and it starts with self-awareness, but also being aware that if your culture is valid, if you are valid, then others are as valid as you are. So it's navigating the world of valid people. It's not navigating those people who are different. It is, you know, we are all different from one another. There is no norm. And for folks who may find themselves in the norm in any kind of situation, it can be challenging to overcome because it can feel like you're diminishing yourself because you have been so used to being the norm, and now you're being asked to make room for other norms.
This gets back to what Brenda was saying. It's about knowing yourself better, and more than that, it's about being real as yourself. I mean, the term is probably 25 years old when it was in its vogue, but I remember people talking about engaging in authentic communication, where you're not just trying to butter somebody up, you're actually trying to be real about yourself so that they'll be real with you.
Absolutely, yeah. And being real with yourself, about yourself, but also understanding that we are social beings. And that means if you want to connect with somebody, you want to know them too. You want to be kind to them. You know, when you talked about being a polite person, one of my questions would have been, what is your definition of polite? Have you thought about how polite, by your definition, may be different for others? And so then what does that mean? And so it can be exhausting. You know, for folks like
sure.
me who think about it all the time, it's kind of like it's an interesting concept to talk about. But I recognize that for folks who are not used to it, it can feel exhausting. Like, what do I do? Like, can I go through the world without offending people? And it's hard. And so, but when people are moving forward, when these mistakes happen, it's when people make mistakes with others, it's usually out of trying to connect with them, and it can be awkward. And so that's how I choose to think about it, that people are making progress, and that's good, and we just need to lead them to keep doing that.
Given the length and the comprehensiveness of the process, and as you mentioned, it can be exhausting. I have this image of you getting flooded after any seminar when you have a couple of people for parts of a day or parts of a couple of days, and they're saying, "I have so many more questions."
Yes, that happens. You know, people's context is themselves, and so they have interesting stories. They are anticipating an interaction with somebody, or they want to apologize to somebody, and they're trying to figure out tips on how to do that. And unfortunately, there are no tips. There's not a rule book. It's about slowing down, knowing yourself, knowing your impact on others, knowing that there are systems of people who that are structured, and you just have to slowly work to overcome those things. And yeah, I mean, and so it's just a slow process that may not feel very satisfying to somebody who's looking for a quick fix, but there is no quick fix.
All right, I was waiting for that shoe to drop. There it was. Yeah, there's no quick fix. Brian Lambert and Brenda Johnson, our guests on the Jefferson Exchange, as we talk about cultural agility. A couple minutes left if you want to join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Particularly in a healthcare context, Brenda Johnson, I mean, the burden of understanding would certainly fall upon the provider. You have to have good rapport to get good information and get a good diagnosis and treatment, that sort of thing. Is cultural agility training now a regular part of training for doctors, nurses, other healthcare professionals?
It is a growing field for certain, and we start to see equity and agility officers or cultural diversity officers in healthcare organizations across the country. And it's finding its way. There's a long road to go. You know, what I would say is that at La Clinica, we provide training, both a cultural agility training for every new employee. We also create these, what we call deeper dives, monthly kind of book clubs and sessions. And then this particular seminar we're talking about today is a 2.5-day exploration in the territory to continue to cultivate one's awareness and simply starting with one thing, one area that they want to do some additional exploration on, you know, and that it can kind of feel a little bit less exhausting when we know that there's a way, there's a path, there's an exploration, and that without blame or shame in the space, we actually can learn. You know, so there's more opportunity and hope, I think, as we think about what's possible for healthcare across the country.
I see that there is a cost to these sessions, about $300. Are they open to the public?
They are indeed. They mm-hmm. are indeed. And we also have, luckily, we have scholarships and some discounts that are available, too. So if financial barriers are a concern for people, we can work with that. We encourage people to come to our website to learn more about the opportunity, and that's wingsseminars.com. Mm-hmm. To find more detail about the seminars themselves, we're offering them on March 20th and 22nd, and then also again in September, on the 25th and 27th of September. And as you heard Brian speak so eloquently, luckily he's one of the facilitators, and we also have another facilitator, Meg Mitchell, who will be with Brian in those seminars.
Ultimately, Brian, it goes beyond just the moment-to-moment transactions. It seems like any organization that wants to be culturally agile also has to think about its own practices outside of just the exam room and the people it hires and all that stuff.
Absolutely, and that's part of what we are able to provide or help support with organizations. There are organizations. I mean, La Clinica is so far ahead of the game, and you know, Brenda's too humble to say this, but I get a chance to work with organizations who are just now figuring out, because their state governments are saying, hey, you need to be culturally agile, not in those words, but you need to provide cultural training for your organizations, and they have never even thought about it. They don't know some of the language. They don't understand what they need to do differently to help support their organizations or mm-hmm. help to support their patients. They will say things like, you know, our patients, we treat all of our patients the same, which mm-hmm. is
Brian, I'm sorry to cut you off, and it's great to visit, but we're running out of time here. I just wanted to say thanks to both of you for giving us a toe dip in the waters of cultural agility. Brenda Johnson from La Clinica, Brian Lambert from Cross Cultural Healthcare Program, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.